So for those of you visiting or who don't know who I am, my name's Jenny. I'll just be speaking this morning. Like, especially welcome if you're visiting this morning, if you're here to support Lois or Nick in their baptism. Like, such a great day. We're so excited. Okay, so page 747. And up there, it's got verses 1 to 10, but I think we're going to just maybe look at the first seven verses. Okay, everyone got it? Page 747, Jeremiah chapter 29. So we are continuing in a series here at The Mission where we're looking at what has love got to do with it. Tina Turner classic, which I would belt out right now, but I don't want to put her to shame. So, you know, I'll save her blushes. So we're looking at how does our faith in Jesus impact our everyday life? So we've looked at how does it affect the way we do shopping? How does it affect us when we're at work? And today we're going to look at how does it affect us when we meet people on the streets? Now you might be thinking, Corey's nowhere sacred. Can't I just have 5 minutes peace anywhere? The answer to that is no. If you're visiting this morning and you're like, I'm not signed up to this Jesus thing, that's also fine too. Bear with me. Maybe you think, what is it about these Christians that are a bunch of goody two-shoes? You're going to find out why. Okay, so how does my faith impact my interactions with people that I meet when I'm walking to church, when I'm walking around Vicky Park, when I'm just going about my business, minding my own business, I'm going to dinner with friends? How does it impact the people that I meet? Now, if you pause and think of the people that you've met on the streets this week, sometimes you can have a quiet week, right? You go about your business, no one troubles you. Thank you, Lord. Or you can have a week like this. I tallied up this week. So people I met on the street, a homeless person, someone who was lost at Bethnal Green train station, looking for Bethnal Green train station. you're here. it's here. So people that are harassed, the mum harassed at the bus stop, trying to get a buggy on when there's already buggies on the bus. That creates a whole new level of stress if you're a mum with a buggy. People who are unhinged and some chuggers, so charity muggers. Also, I guess their technical term is street fundraisers, but, you know, the ones who just want to harass you to sign up and sign your money away. I also had someone down Wilmot Street this week stop me to ask if they could use my mobile phone. The answer to that was a quick no, and on we went. So people, often strangers, who will bump into you and stop you for a reason. Sometimes the people we meet on the streets become familiar faces, the same people in the same spot year in, year out, week in, week out. And so these couple of verses from Jeremiah, they give us a little bit of insight into our interactions and how they should be with people that we meet on the street. So to give you a bit of context, so Jeremiah, an Old Testament book, Jeremiah is a prophet. And so this book is written to the Israelites, so God's people, who had time and time again, they disobeyed God. God just asked them to follow quite simple instructions, and they kept getting it wrong. And so Jeremiah, the prophet, it was his job to say to them, guys, you're getting it wrong, and you need to turn back to God. You've got to change your ways. And they didn't. Proper humans. They couldn't take the message and change. They just carried on about their business. And so as a result, God allowed the Babylonian army, who were the big bully boys of the time, to come in and to grab them and to take them from where they were back to Babylon. So that's called living in exile. So the army captured them, carried them off for their rebellion and their refusal to change when God asked them to. Now, the thing is, that seems like, on the face of it, one strong group of people come and take another group of people and take them off. But actually, it says in verses 4 and verses 7 of Jeremiah 29 that God used those very events so that he could place his people in Babylon. So he used the events of the time to get his people into Babylon because he had a plan and he had a purpose. And so Jeremiah 29 is a letter that is written in verse 1, you see, to the leaders. So the leaders of the Jewish people, because they think, like, if you understand, God's like, if the leaders understand, then it will filter down to the people. And so this letter goes to the leaders with God's instruction now to the Jewish people. Like, this is how you are now going to live. Now you're far from home. Now you're in Babylon, in this pagan and godless city. And this is what this is what God says. So verses 4 to 7. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And so God says, verse 5 and verse 6, he's really clear in what he's got to say to his people. And he says this, he says, you are to make your home there. The place that doesn't feel like home, that's now to be your home. And you supplant your gardens, build your houses, get married, live your lives, because you're going to be there for 70 years. So you're going to be there for a generation until, if you read on in verse 10, God says, then after 70 years, I'm going to take you back to the place which you came from. And so God says, live your lives. And so for the Israelites, they became like, I don't know if you know Sting the singer, they became like legal aliens. But instead of being an Englishman in New York, they were an Israelite in Babylon, okay? So they didn't quite belong there. It wasn't their true home. And yet, they're to live as if it is. So they were placed with a purpose. And their purpose was, the Jewish people, was to be ambassadors of Yahweh, ambassadors of God. Everything they do and everything they did and everything they said was to point to God Almighty. Now there's similarities for us if we're followers of Jesus. Now you think where you are located. So some people were visiting this beautiful part of East London. And your home is somewhere else around the country. For some of you, this is where you call home. And maybe you call it home because you were born here. Maybe you came here for education. Maybe you're stupid enough to come and stay for love. Maybe you came for education. Maybe you came for rehab. Maybe you came for safety. And they're the reasons that landed us in this place. But this is the thing, friends. God was involved in all of that. That wasn't a surprise to him. He wasn't like, oh, they've turned up now in Bethnal Green. What do I do with them? He knew it all along. And more than that, it says in Philippians chapter 3 that actually, if you're a follower of Jesus, heaven is your true home. And so actually, our time here on earth, wherever part of the planet it may be that God has placed us, actually, we're living as foreigners and we're living as exiles. We're living as legal aliens. But actually, we're living and called to live differently. We're called to live differently and live with a purpose. And what's that purpose? Verse 7 gives us the answer. We are called to seek the peace and the prosperity of our city. Now, peace and prosperity. Prosperity isn't like make as much money as you can and live your life in peace. The Hebrew word for that is shalom. You might have heard that if you've been around in church before. So peace and prosperity, flourishing, thriving to the best of the best of the best. So it's our job to seek the shalom, the peace and the prosperity of the city. Now, no doubt we probably want that for our own lives. I'm sure there's not many people who'd say, actually, I'm not quite sure about that human flourishing. We probably want to thrive and we probably want to flourish. But actually, God says, it's not just about you flourishing and you thriving. Seek that for the strangers that are in the place that you live. Now, you might have heard Jesus' words in Matthew that say, love your neighbor as yourself. But actually, here in Jeremiah in verse 7, it goes so much further than that. It says the welfare of the city, the peace of the city, the prosperity of the city, the flourishing of the city is actually tied to your own flourishing. It's tied to your own peace and your own welfare. See, God says you have got a part to play in the godless city that you live in that pagan town that you live in. In a place that isn't quite home, you have got a place and you have got a purpose, and that is to seek the welfare of the city. And so God said to the Jewish people that if the Israelites flourished, That would be because Babylon has flourished. So seek the flourishing of Babylon because you too will flourish. As I seek it for others, I'll see the benefit myself. Now, we've seen that probably in recent times this summer. If you think about the UK riots that kind of sprouted up here, there and everywhere. As that was going on and there was unrest and the complete opposite of peace on our streets, you could tell that people themselves were getting anxious. They were getting fearful. There was an absence of peace and an absence of human flourishing. And then what happened? You've got groups of anti-protesters springing up in towns and in cities saying, actually, we are going to seek the peace of our streets and of our neighbourhood, and we're going to come against this nonsense that we're seeing. And what happened as a result? There were peace on the streets. And actually, people that were living in fear soon became more peaceful. Like, we could see that our peace was connected to the peace of the city. It was connected to the peace of our towns. And so for us, what does it look like when we meet people on the street? What does it look like? I don't know if you've ever played Surely. Everyone played hide and seek before? Yeah. Who prefers to hide than seek? Give us a show of hands. Oh, not that many people. I love hiding, because if you hide, you've got 20 minutes peace, haven't you? I love it. Nate's like, Mum, can we play hide and seek? Yeah, I'll go and hide. Have a little snooze behind a sofa. So when you're playing hide and seek, if you're a seeker, it is your job to what? Find the person who's hiding, right? You can't find that person if you're seeking by just sitting still. It's active and it's engaging. It isn't passive and it isn't indifferent. You've got to get up and you've got to do something. It's active, it's engaging. And actually, if you want to seek the person that you're looking for, you need to move towards them, otherwise you're never going to find them. We've got to work out in practice what it means to seek the welfare, the peace and the prosperity and the flourishing of the places that we live. Here's a couple of ideas. One, doing good. Doing good. Having compassion on the people that we meet. Having care for the people that we meet and the situations that they're in. And doing that with integrity. So that means sometimes stopping and listening, directing, helping, giving time, listening, doing good. I'm sure we've all had times where we've stopped to help someone or someone's asked us for something. And then you look back on that encounter and you think, gosh, I was so in the right place at the right time for the right reason. I'll give you like an example of that for me. There was one time, it was years ago now, that we just kind of finished something that we were doing at the mission and was about to leave. And this teenage girl pitched up at the door and she's like, I wonder if you can help me. So I'm like, yeah, sure, thinking she wants directions. It turned out she had kind of run away from home. She didn't know where home was, so she couldn't go back there. And so there was this whole kind of situation where it's like, gosh, okay, so phone social services, phone the police, kind of thinking like, job done, it's late, I'm going home. And then this girl's like, I've not eaten. So down we go to Nando's, sit and have a meal with this girl, take her to the police station, got home really, really late. And I'm telling you this because to this day, I've got absolutely no idea what that encounter was about. It wasn't even as if like, oh, 2 years later, I found out her life had been completely transformed or she found a way home or like none of that. Because I think often when we stop and we meet people in the street, we don't know the significance of that interaction in their lives. And I've got no idea what happened to that girl. No idea at all. But like I really trust that doing good actually made a difference in her life. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 12 that people will see your actions and will ask what the source of your love is. Now that didn't happen for me that day, but I wonder, like, has that girl ever stopped to think, oh, I remember when I went Nando's with that stranger and she bought me loads of sides, you know, like who knows, who knows. Another thing, if we're seeking the peace of our city or the places that we live, we need to be prepared to be inconvenienced, be prepared to be put out. See, it's hard to seek the peace of an area without self-sacrifice. Seek it even when I'm tired. Seek it even when I just want to get home. Seek it when I really can't be bothered. Seek it when I want my me time. I just want to listen to my tunes or listen to my podcast. Don't want to see anyone. Don't want to bump into anyone. You know, when I speak as someone, I've got various variations of coming to work, okay? Basically, I just live down a long street. So from here to home, it's just a long street. But I can weave in and out. And there's certain routes, well, actually, one route that I'm not going to tell you what it is, that I know if I go that way, I'm not going to see anybody. And there's sometimes where I'm just like, I'm just going to go that way just so I don't bump into anyone. That's not me being prepared to be inconvenienced with people that I meet on the street. And actually, there's been times where I'm like, I'm just going to go that way home, just so I don't see anyone. And lo and behold, someone appears behind the garages who wants something, you know. God's got plans and God's got purposes. The other thing about seeking peace with the people that we meet on our streets is, like, actually, we don't always have to get involved. Like, you have got permission to walk past the need, because the Bible tells us that God has prepared good works in advance for us to do. And so we can sometimes get so sidetracked by the obvious need in front of us. So that's normally someone outside Sainsbury's or outside the Salmon and Bull who's begging, they want money for a night or they want a sandwich. But actually, we don't know that if we was to walk past that person, actually, we might have somebody else further up the road that God has planned for us to meet and to encounter and to do good with. And so do good, be inconvenienced, don't always get involved. But then it goes on in chapter 29 of Jeremiah in verse 7. And it says, like, actually, doing good isn't always enough. Now, you will know there's people that don't say that they follow Jesus, that do a lot of good in our city, in our neighbourhoods. And actually, some of the good that they do puts Christians to shame. Oh, bless you. But it says here in Jeremiah, peace comes for the people of God as they depend on God. He says, seek and pray for the city. Seek and pray, because prayer is God's supernatural power to bring about change. Now, that would have been shocking for the Israelites. They're in their enemy's land. They're living there. They don't want to be there. And God is saying, don't just seek the good and seek the peace of this place, but actually be praying for it. Don't pray for its destruction, but pray for its welfare. And it's the closest thing really to Jesus saying in the New Testament, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He's saying to his people, you need to be living this out. Seek and pray. And he says, when you ask for the shalom, the peace, the flourishing of the city, it says in verse 12 later on, it says, God hears and God moves. He hears and he moves. And so what does that look like for us? What does praying for our city and praying for the area that we live look like? Now, it might be joining a prayer initiative. There's one actually that's in London that's gone on in Tower Hamlets as a little, I was going to say prototype. What is it? Not a prototype. Well, trial or whatever it is. And so they've trialed it where they're wanting to pray round all the streets of Tower Hamlets. And actually, they're going to spread it out next year. It's called Thy Kingdom Come. So that every street of London is prayed for. Now, you might think, right, okay, that's something I can get involved with. I'm going to pray for the peace and seek peace in my city. That might be something that we get involved with. But how does that look? What does praying for the flourishing of our city look like when we're out on our feet and we're in our area and we're to-ing and fro-ing across London? Now, for me, I've started praying for what I call divine encounters. Okay, so an encounter with someone that you meet on the street that you know without a shadow of a doubt that God has placed that person across your path for whatever reason it may be. So praying for divine encounters. So before I leave home, when I'm on the ball, I pray God, like, will you make my steps go where they need to go that I will meet any people that you want me to meet? Because then I know that when I meet someone, that is the person that God's got in store for me to meet. And so I can respond from that place. And so often what it looks like is I'm planning to walk to work this way. But actually I get to Barmy Park and I think, oh, I'm just going to cut through there. And as I cut through there, I meet someone. I'm like, ah, this is the reason why I walked this way this morning. And time again, I've seen that I've met people because I've prayed, like, God put people across my path who I'm going to meet. And so it's intentional. Our praying is intentional and it is powered by the Holy Spirit. It says in Psalms 37, it says, rejoice, for the steps of a righteous person are ordered by God. Like, God, I want my steps when I'm walking around a city that I love, the area that I live in, I want them to be ordered by you, that I will meet the people that you want me to meet, that I can seek and pray for the peace of my city. And so for the Jewish people, their lives and their laws and their ways of worshipping were to be attractive to the city around them. They were to be pointing people to Yahweh, their creator, their protector, their guide, their healer, their deliverer. And it's true for us. If we're followers of Jesus, we're told to share the good news of Jesus. It says in the New Testament to always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you've got in Christ. Always be prepared. One writer says this, always be prepared because by themselves, random acts of kindness cannot bring enduring peace. The only basis for real and lasting peace is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so, friends, if we're followers of Jesus, we believe that true peace, true human flourishing, true vitality in our city actually is brought about by the work of Jesus on the cross. And so telling other people about Jesus, when we get that opportunity to give the reason for the hope that we have, that's the thing that makes a difference. Because God's able to bring change through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes it different between a Christian doing good and somebody who doesn't follow Jesus doing good. The power of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus then actually is the greatest need for our city. Jesus is the greatest need for the area that you live. Jesus is the greatest need for the area you grew up in. Jesus is the greatest need for the area where your feet walk on a daily basis. And the reason for that is this. So Jesus was in heaven and that was his home. And I think he was perfectly happy there with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And that was his home, and yet he moved into our area. He came to earth and he lived like a foreigner and like an exile, because heaven was always his home. And what did he do? He made his home amongst people. He lived almost like a legal alien. He made his home there. And he was placed in that place by God for a specific purpose. And that purpose was that he would seek and save the lost. And so Jesus, his job was to seek us out, to find us, because he loves us. And so he was persecuted and he died. And then 3 days later, he rose again. And friends, the only way we can truly prosper, we can truly have peace, and we can truly flourish and thrive, isn't because Jesus prospered, but because Jesus died. And the Bible says that that death brings us peace with God if we surrender our will to his and we choose to follow him. So when we meet people on the streets, we are called to seek and to pray for the peace and the prosperity of our city. But I wonder for you this morning, like, if that's new news to you and you're thinking, gosh, Jesus came for me. Yeah, he came for you. Because we can run away, but actually it's his job to seek and to find us. And maybe you have been a Christian for donkey's years. Friends, if we really grasp the truth of this verse, this will make a difference to the way we live our lives this week. God, help me to seek and help me to pray for the peace and prosperity of London. Because when we get it and when we understand it and when we're empowered by the Spirit of the living God, even London can experience this. Let's pray. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God, so often our greatest desire is just that we would have peace. That we'd have peace around us, that we'd have peace internally. And thank you, Jesus, because of what you did on the cross, that we can experience that peace if we surrender our lives to you. And so, God, I pray for anyone here today who's curious about that or is in that place where they're like, I really, really long for that, God, that they would turn to you, knowing that you just welcome us as we are. And God, for the rest of us who know you to be true and have experienced the peace of Christ in our own lives, as we go about our daily business this week, as we're walking about, keep us mindful, God, and keep us prayerful when it comes to encountering people on the streets. Whatever it is they're stopping us for, whatever it is that they're wanting, God, help us to know when it's ours to get involved with and to do good and to share Jesus or not share Jesus. Help us to know when it's ours to walk on by. God, may we know the good works that you've prepared in advance for us to do. And may we walk in them, God, I pray. God, that our city would flourish and that we too would flourish. But God, I pray above everything that you put your glory on display in the places that we live. And God, I pray that for our city in Jesus' name. Put your glory on display, God. In Jesus' name, amen.